Merci, Anthony. Next question will go with Amy Johnson. Amy, you're up.
Thank you. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
I know some of this will probably be a repeat from what you just spoke with Anthony about, but if you could please just give us an update on some injuries. Do you expect to get some guys back in the lineup on Thursday?
Yeah. Well, first we'd give a couple of days off, Amy, to the guys. It was a 5 weeks that was pretty drooling and demanding.
Sure.
So we felt that they could refresh, you know, come in late on Saturday and Sunday and Monday to go spend some time and refresh. And I thought the guys came out really good and the timing was good because Mysak, Ilonen, Venmo, and Belzil were clear for practice. So they got on the ice today with the group. It was a high pace, and a couple of things we want to work on that, you know, we didn't get a chance because we played so many games, and we accomplished that. It was an intense hour, and let's see how the guys are doing tomorrow. The four injury guys that came back today at practice, let's see if we know how they're doing. But like I told Anthony, like, on the Mysak and Ilonen situation, you know, we're going to work with them and be patient. There's no rushing into getting back in the lineup. And, you know, we need them to be, you know, we want to see how their conditioning is going to be tomorrow again. And it was demanding today for them. And we're not going to put their young guys that are in really good season. I think everybody's been happy the way they handled the pro and the adjustment. So we're not going to rush them in a situation if we don't feel they don't have all the workload that they should get. Every time a guy gets in the lineup, that's got to do with workload. In the case of Venmo and Belzil, they've been skating for a little longer. They were skating when we were on the road. And it's going to be a partnership between me and them and to see where they are and if they're comfortable. They're older guy, they're stronger, they have more experience. Again, I don't know who's going to play on Thursday. We're going to take it one day at a time, but definitely there's two different kind of group there. You know, there's a group that you're kind of cautious, and there's another group where you kind of say, hey, you're good to go. You know, you're an older guys, and we're gonna talk with them.
Coming off of the two games in Toronto, facing them now two more times at home, were there areas that you, despite the two wins in Toronto over the weekend, are there areas that you'd like to see your team come out with a little more improvements on coming into these two games at home?
I think that the first game was a 50-50 game for me. It wasn't a great game from our part. We give ourselves a chance to win, and we made some good play, but I think it's one of those games that could have went on both sides. I thought we reacted really well this second game. I thought we did the adjustment. What you're talking about, we did it on the second game. Really, really proud of the guy. And, you know, I got to be transparent when they're not doing well. I got to be transparent when they're doing well. And I thought we adjusted. And even, you know, it was a 2-0 game. It became a 2-2 game in the second. But there were a couple of single out plays that, you know, for me, they don't dictate how we manage game or how we react. What we put the emphasis on, and that was my message after the second period, it says, we're good. It's 2-2, which is going to happen. I mean, it happened to the Habs yesterday. But I like the way we're playing. I like the way we're doing things. And I know we're going to get our chances, and the results should be on our side if we keep that. And we did. We had really good scoring chances in the third and scored a couple of big goals. So that was for the weekend. Now, it's a lot of the same for me. A lot of the time, it's the message I have with the player. More of the same, because, you know, when you have something that works, the worst thing you can do is to look for something else. That being said, we're not perfect. We're still working on stuff, Amy, obviously. A couple of things that I liked. We'll see how we shuffled the lineup too. But a couple of things you'd like to be even better. You always push the envelope. That's why it's hard to win. But I got to be – our communication right now and our understanding of what we need to do, I think we're on the same page as coaching staff and players.
Just one last question for me. With the trade deadline finally passing yesterday and Hayden Verbeek leaving the organization, I guess kind of a two-sided question. Was there a little bit of weight off the shoulders of the rest of the guys gathered today that everyone else was still there? And just your thoughts on Hayden's performance this year and his trade?
Yeah, I don't think the guys, you know, with COVID and obviously in the normal season, I think there's more move with AHL player.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the playoff, that's not, you know, in sight. And so there's not as much as I think concern. Anyway, I don't feel it. And I think the guy felt it. Something can happen, but it's out of your control. And Aiden, this group, by the way, to your answer, this group they like each other. They're mm-hmm. they're passionate about each other. They take care of each other. You see it in game, Amy. They're there for each other. I mean, they put effort together. So I think they're happy that everybody's there. On the flip side, I think Aiden played really well. You know, when he was in the lineup, he did really good. But we have some numbers of players coming back. So when, you know, Habs make a decision to do a transaction, there's a lot behind it that, you know, I'm not involved in. But I like Aiden. He's been a great guy. And first thing I said to him, how much he improved and how good he did. And he was pretty proud of himself. His attitude's always been great, even if he wasn't in the lineup all the time. And now I'm happy he's getting maybe a different look for the rest of the season, because everybody likes him and cheer for him.
Okay, next question. We'll go with Glenn McCagg. Glenn, you're up.
Hey, Joel, this is a fairly long question. Just yesterday or the other day, you were talking about, you know, Guy Carbonneau was like a great scorer in junior, and then he ended up becoming like a fantastic checking center in the NHL. Scouts often, you know, when it comes to the draft, they try to project where a player will play in the NHL, and they'll like, even if they think they might be a third or fourth line guy, they still want to see production from him at the junior level. You know, like a Carbonneau, third round guy, comes to the Canadiens despite being such a high scorer. You know, they had LaRouche and Mondu and Wickenheiser, who was a first overall pick. He just, like, he wasn't going to be a top two center with those guys ahead of him. So he goes to the farm team and, you know, they develop him into a checking center, but yet his stats those 2 years were like 88 points and 94. So obviously, you know, it was they were teaching him the defensive end of the game more, he was still producing. Now, when it comes to when you're like, there's guys that you say, well, he probably projects to be a third or fourth line NHL guy if he makes it. So when he's at the AHL level, do you put him on a checking line per se, or is it more likely that he's going to end up being, you know, in the top six and doing both? You know, you want him to be able to produce at the AHL level before he makes the NHL, and he's, you know, he's learning the defensive side of the game, yet playing in a top six role because you think that he can make the NHL.
Okay, that's a good question. On Guy Carbonneau, I agree that he didn't have the stats and, you know, the junior, but he's a Hall of Fame. Like, he's a guy that scored, you know, I mean, goal in the NHL too. He wasn't just a checker. It would be wrong to say he was just a checker. He was an overall 200-foot player. And I had the chance to play with him in Dallas at the end of his career. He was quite the player. So I don't think Guy Carbonneau was a checker, because you don't get into the Hall of Fame being a checker. But I know what you mean by it. And the way I will answer to you is, you need offense from all four lines. I don't think as an NHL player you can go in going, well, it's not my job, I'm just a checker. If you this in 2021, you're done. You're done. You can't do that. We're not there anymore. I remember when we were in World Junior a few years back, and, you know, we wanted offense on all four lines, and you got to, and I know it's not easy, but you got to get as much offense as you can. I do not agree, even for a defenseman, to say, well, it's not my job, it's your job. And you should push yourself to get as much offense as you can as a player. Because I tell you what, you're going to be, as a player, as an advice, I've lived it. If you don't have stats, you're easy to push aside. If you have a few goals and a few assists, and it might be a point that's important in the game. So my job is not to say, well, you're just a checker. Far from it. Is to give you tools to have real offense. And that's the difference. That's where scouts and people that are good hockey minds can realize what is real offense is when it's fake offense. Meaning that two guys can have 75 points in junior, could have 35 goals. One is fake offense. One is the right offense. And both guys will be drafted, and right away as a junior, this guy will not be offensive in the pro. This guy could be offensive. And let's call spade a spade. You get 75 points in junior. Offense for you might mean 25 to 30 points max. And I mean that, like, when I hear guys that, oh, he's an offensive guy, he's got 57 points in junior, he's not an offensive guy for the pro. Offensive guy is a guy that has 100 points. You know what I mean? Like, to get offense in the NHL, like, you need a full package. Now, that being said, when we get guys that are here, they're not exceptional in ways that you have Connor McDavid, they go to the NHL straight out and we all know it. But the other guys, they need to be good on 200 feet. Now, this is the difference. How can you create offense from a bunch of different things? Execution, reading the play, defending brings you offense because, you know, you provoke turnovers and a lot of goals are scored on turnovers. Look at the game last night. So to me, it's just to get a complete player and after give him tools to even score more goal, meaning that shooting selection, where to be on the ice. And we give those guys, the guys all tips on that because the difference between scoring 7 goals and scoring 12 goals in the NHL could be $1.5 million at the end of the day on your contract. You know what I mean? Or even a contract and no contract. So I disagree with bringing a guy to the minors and say, you're going to just be this because that's what you're going to be. You got to push their offense all the time. Some guys have it and some guys don't have it. And that's the unfortunate thing about drafting is, you know, we draft guys at 17 years old and, you know, we expect something or we want something. And sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong. And sometimes we're right and it doesn't work out for a different reason. So trying to explain to you my philosophy on it, but I think we need to get away from, oh, he's just a checker. If you're just a checker in 2021, you better be a hell of a checker. Because you need to make some plays at time. You need to make those plays in tight. You need to provoke some offense to bring some scoring chances. You have to. You can't just be one and done and just have a good stick. It's not good enough.
I know earlier in the year I brought up like Josh Brookin Jr. Was quite effective on the power play by the end of his and you sort you mentioned that you know you don't see him being a power play guy at the NHL level per se. You know, you've given Xavier Ouellette and other guys power play time where, you know, to be honest, like to be truthful, they're probably not going to be power play guys at the NHL level either. You know, I mean, he's 27 years old and has never scored more than 30 points as a pro player. Just, I'm curious why he hasn't been given more opportunity at, you know, at the HL level to play some power play to see if he does have that offense that where he could maybe be a second power play guy in the NHL someday.
That's a good question. Yeah, a good question. So I'll explain to you how it works a little bit in some way from a perspective on teaching and developing a player. Okay. When you build a house, do you build it from the rooftop? Do you start with the roof? Like you start the roof, you put the roof down, or you start with the foundation? Would you say foundation or roof?
Right. Well, foundation, yeah.
Foundation. Okay, so we got that. So what's the foundation of a defenseman? It's defending. Okay? So there's so many minutes you can give to a guy, and then there's so many, and to be honest, Brooks has been on a power play now for 2-3 weeks at times when we don't have guys. And there's guys that need some workload, meaning that they need the workload, the charge of work, like to be able to have the pace, to be ready to go on and to have that kind of stamina to be to the NHL. So Xavier in the minor league is a power play defenseman. And Brooksy in some way, from the minor league, he could be a power play, you know, defenseman. But what we're very proud about Brooksy and what you should be asking me is, not why, you know, he's getting up more power play. How much better you got defensively? Like, I think Brooksy's has some game where I think he's strong defensively. And I would not have said that. Listen, look at my stats in junior. I had stats. I won World Junior like twice. I had like numbers. I would go like I had offense. I wasn't a power play guy in the NHL though. So I figured out quick enough that that's not going to happen. My shot wasn't good enough. My poise wasn't good enough when I first, you know, to be in, I was a good defender. I was a good PK guy. So what we have in junior is a reflect. Guys get points in junior for different. I was a good skater. I could get points in junior. They weren't realistic for the NHL. You know what I mean? So you got to figure out pretty quick that what's going to be your bread and butter. And I think with Brooksy being a 200-foot defenseman and being defending strong and being, what he's becoming right now is his best route to become the best. And to be honest, we're really happy and proud of Brooksy. He's doing really well. You need some to be in this a power play guy. You need to have some attribute that are for the next level. We're talking the next level. And I'm not saying that maybe at 26, 27, Brooksy will not be. As of right now, I'd rather have the foundation, and that's what he's doing. That's why I'm so proud of him. He's got a strong foundation as he's defending. The Brooksy today and the Brooksy from last year, we're not talking the same guys. Like, he's evolving. He's maturing. I'm actually really proud of him, the way he's been playing and the minutes he's been getting. And that's the other thing. Like, he's getting a lot of minutes. So, and he's getting good minutes. That makes him better. And he still gets offense. Look, he's getting some points, right? He's getting some points. And when we have a chance, we put him in the power play. He was in the power play for the last couple of weeks. So I think that the track of Brooksy's been really good, to be honest. Really good. And who knows down the road, you know, and that's why we put him on the power play lately. But to give him the power play right away, he's not a special. Like, Cofield is different. Cofield is a power play specialist. You know what I mean? Like, right away, you put him there. That's his job. We got to work with him. On Brooksy, we need to work on the foundation. And credit to the player. He's been doing it.
He may be your most improved player this year. Would that be fair to say?
If you ask me, I think this year he did improve from where we had to set him out. He's done really well. But I would say if you look at the bigger span from the beginning of last year, his structure in his game, his handling of the lot of part of the game, you're right. He's been, I mean, I don't like to say he's the winner, but he's been improving. I agree with you. I mean, everybody, we all see it. I think he sees it. Being defenseman is hard. It's hard, you know. And I since last year, I would say I'm very happy. Let's put it, I'm happy the way he's progressing. Like, really happy.